and unsurpassed,
penetrating and perfect Dharma, is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas, having it to see and listen to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So there's a line, and I wish I could do the accent better. I think I know it's from Alice in Wonderland, and I can't remember if it's the caterpillar or the queen. Somebody says to Alice, "Who do you think you are?" So I ask you, who do you think you are? Ah. Nothing special, that's who you are. Sometimes we say, get over yourself. And Suzuki Roshi talks about nothing special. And as you're just starting, or before you start, you notice that there's some wonderful, wonderful thing about practice, or in practice. And you want it, it seems so great. And then you practice for years, and then after a while, you, pardon the word, attain it. And then after that, it isn't so special. It's nothing special. So it's useful to ask yourself every so often, who do I think I am? Because we cause ourselves and others no end of trouble because we get caught by wanting to be special, thinking we're special, thinking we're not special and we have to be special. Years ago at Tassajara, and I can't remember if I told you this story recently or not, but what the hell. A friend of mine commented that Leslie James and I, Leslie was, I think she was the head of practice at that time. She was a very senior person. She's now the abiding teacher at Tassajara. At any rate, that Leslie and I were the only two senior people that actually did Soji. That all the other senior people, the implication was that the other senior people kind of went and cleaned their own offices or made their bed or I don't know what, but they didn't just sweep the walkways or help out in the kitchen or do whatever everybody else was doing for temple cleaning. And at the time, I was pleased by his noticing, because I did make an effort, and I was aware that my cohort often didn't do plain old soji. Because you finish with study hall, and then you go out into the courtyard, and the Ino, the head of the Zendo, is there, and they give you an assignment for a soji for the temple cleaning, and you go help clean up the Zendo, or you go to help in the kitchen, or you sweep leaves, or whatever you do. Right? So these other people would sort of not approach the Ino. I don't remember feeling like super proud of it or anything. Just like, oh, we noticed, because I made an effort to do this. I mean, it's tempting. There's always something you need to do in the office, and you could actually go sweep the floor. I mean, you could do useful temple cleaning type things. But there's a difference between doing what you want to do and doing what the temple wants you to do in the form of, you know. Anyway, so that happened, and I was pleased and I didn't think that much about it. And then many years later, I didn't live there anymore, and I was leading a retreat for lawyers, which meant that I ate, that I was treated as a guest, and I ate all my meals in the dining room because the lawyers were there as guests, and I was leading their retreat. Well, I find the tea, the coffee that's made for the guests to be much too weak, and I only get one cup of coffee a day, but God, I want it to be good. And so I was making myself a cup of coffee, and the head of the dining room approached me, and she said, as many of them had over the years, you know, she said to me, you know, there's coffee in the dining room. And I said, I know, it's just not strong enough. And she looked a little irritated, and I thought, oh, well. And then I heard later from her boss, the guest manager, that she had been really upset and that she had gone on a rant about these senior people. They're so entitled. They think they're so. And what I realized for myself is, and what came up for me was, I am not like that. I am not one of those people. And how proud I was to not to be one of those people. So, oh well. Oh well. We all do it, and we do it, and we don't sometimes even notice that we're doing it. Then something happens, and the universe gives you a dope slap, and you say, oh, me too. So we make a great effort to, I sort of say, to be nothing special. I guess you could say it that way. But it's maybe better to say we make a great effort and leave it at that. We make a great effort to simply be here. And what I was want to point out today is how much of a theme that is throughout Zen, at any rate. So Suzuki Roshi has a fascicle called Nothing Special in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And it starts with the epigram about how when you start out, you think that there's something really special, and then you get there and you find out it's not special. And in fact, what's so wonderful is when you stop seeing yourself so special, or trying to be, or trying to avoid not being, or whatever, when you can just be another person, another being, there's tremendous liberation in that. And when you screw up, it's so much easier to apologize, or to make the necessary amends if you need to. And there are all kinds of koans. I looked up, there's one that I want to close this list with, but there are a lot of ones where the monk asks, what is Buddha? There's this used to, what is Buddha? Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? And I don't know, kind of what's the way or something like that. And it's like this, the student is saying, tell me the wonderful special secret. And then the responses are like a dried shit stick, 3 pounds of hemp. What is the price of rice in Lu Ling? Lu Ling was like a center for, what is the price of corn in Kansas? Is it the kitchen? The kitchen gate, the cedar tree in the courtyard. I mean, it just goes on and on and on that these monks are kind of relatively kind of swatted down. Don't make such a big, don't make a thing of it. Don't make such a big thing of it. It's no more a thing worthy of veneration than 3 pounds of hemp. It's ordinary. And we so want to be special. I think maybe we think that being, you know, not thinking in our thinking mind, but intuitively, that if we're special, we're a little safer somehow. You know? So there's a koan that's usually called ordinary mind, or ordinary mind is the way. It's case 19 from the gateless gate. How does Aiken translate? The gateless barrier. I'm the barrier, and there's no gate. So here is the case itself. Zhao Zhou asked Nanchuan, "What is the way?" Nanchuan said, "Ordinary mind is the way." Zhao Zhou asked, "Should I try to direct myself toward it?" You know that he's going to get it now. Nanchuan said, "If you try to direct yourself, you betray your own practice." "Well, then how can I know the way if I don't direct myself?" Nanchuan said, "The way is not subject to knowing or not knowing. Knowing is delusion. Not knowing is darkness. If you truly reach the genuine way, you will find it as vast and boundless as outer space." How can this be discussed at the level of affirmation or negation? With those words, Zhao Zhou had a sudden realization. And I will say, all you can do is be it, or watch yourself not be it. See how that works. And the verse, the woman who compiled this, woman's verse, spring comes with flowers, autumn with the moon, summer with breeze, winter with snow. When idle concerns don't clutter your mind, you have the best years of your life. When idle concerns, Rosie, get back. Rose.
Can I close the door?
Yes, close the door. Thank you. Then she'll. When we open it, she'll often be much calmer. The dog we're talking about. When idle concerns don't clutter your mind, you have the best days of your life. Aiken, this I'm reading from a version by translated by Robert Aiken. His one. This is your best season. And thinking we're something special, or trying to be something special, or not realizing that we're trying to be it and also trying to avoid not being it. We get completely wrapped up in this specialness. We want it, and we want. And I think in a way what we're doing is we're getting entangled in our great desire, the great desire for specialness, the great desire for a permanent independent self. That's the specialness beyond specialness. And we want it because it's safe. And it doesn't work. And we know it doesn't work on our bones. We know it doesn't work because it gets proven to us moment after moment when things keep changing. And I keep changing. I'm getting old. You know, I'm a little creaky. I can't remember names of things. I have many friends who can't hear as well as they used to, and so on and so on. We're changing. And I have babies in my life, my cousin's cousin, my cousin's kids' kids. Grand cousins or whatever they are. I think of myself as a great aunt, actually, but whatever. And they are adorable, and they keep growing up. You know, I was had dinner with one and his parents one recently, and he's about to be three. And he said, at one point, totally independent of anything, he said, "I'm a big kid." And he is, you know, he's not really even a toddler anymore. You know, he walks and runs and he gets around and he goes to preschool and he's adorable. So that change is fine, though it's happening too fast for me. And there's also in our family, I started to say she's a new baby. She's not a baby. Or she just had her first birthday. She's walking. And it's wonderful. So that change is okay with me, but my creakiness is not okay with me. So ordinary mind is the way. So maybe a simple way of understanding that is to say that my job, if I choose to take it, and if I don't choose to take it, of course, it's going to take me. My job is to find the courage and the willingness and to make the effort, to sustain the effort of ordinary mind, of simply being present for what's going on right here, right now, in this one and in this group and in the group represented by online presence. And whatever. And ordinary mind is not cluttered by foolish things. But then that's our practice. A relatively new word, right? Our practice is decluttering. What is that woman's name? Who is
Marie Kondo?
Yeah, Marie Kondo. I don't know if she coined the word, but she certainly popularized it. So our job, we're decluttering the mind. Decluttering it. Or in some sense, maybe just being willing to let it be cluttered. And not get sucked in by the clutter, not get entangled with the clutter. Just letting the clutter be clutter. And then the mind will declutter itself. Or at least the Velcro that surrounds all this clutter stops being effective, so I don't get hooked by it. I guess Velcro is kind of a lot of tiny little hooks. So we sit Sashin. And often, you know, the first, I don't know if it's the first day, first 1 to 3 days, I'll say. You can feel something shifting. And there's an underlying calm, an underlying quiet that is, I'll say, available. Because the clutter is available too, but it doesn't have the same hold. And yesterday, the first day, I mostly cooked and I didn't sit all that much. And then yesterday, I don't know, late morning or something, I noticed it in my body that just something had let go and there was a relaxation and that my breath had slowed down. And right now talking, I'm aware of a silence. And I'm not allowed to be totally silent right this minute. And it's a little bit of an effort to talk. And that's available to us. And that's nothing special. That's doing this practice. What does he say? Doing this practice, doing this simple practice day after day. That, you know, it is literally feels like something inside let go. I don't have to anything. I don't have to rush. I don't have to do anything. I just need to sit here and practice sitting up straight, top of my head, reaching for the sky. That's all. And if I'm cooking, I just cook. And if it's time for a meal, I just eat. Ordinary. Ordinary, just me being another being in the world. Kate, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I forget now exactly what it was about, but I said, you do you and I'll do me. And that's all I have to do. I don't have to do Kate. I don't have to control Kate or anybody else. And I am the guiding teacher here. I do tell people what to do. I do train people. I do say, sound the bell louder or softer or whatever. But all I do is suggest. I'm not, this isn't the Marines. Nobody's going to get punished if they don't do Orioki just right, which is a good thing because we haven't done it in so long. We'd all be in solitary. We are in solitary, but it's a different kind of solitary. With this. This reminder about ordinariness, I think, is really useful, and about not, you know, in the language that we often use, not grasping after it and not trying to push it away, because it's not, you know, it's not about knowing or not knowing. In the sense that Jojo was talking about it, it's not a head event. It's a doing event. It's a sit still and get quiet and see what happens event. It's a be willing to be present. As Suzuki Roshi says, I think it's in the control facet, you know, to be present for her. Whereas Mel famously quotes him at another time, for things as it is. So there's really nothing to do during these days, these precious few days that we have to sit sesshin. There's nothing to do but sit still and pay attention. Do chanting and pay attention. Clean the zendo and pay attention. Deadhead flower, pay attention. Put all the cleaning towels and cloths in the dryer and pay attention. That's it. And it's so easy to say, and it's hard to do. So we have a couple minutes. I meant to leave longer, but does anybody have any comments or questions about this?
Well, I think maybe my wife, Becky, taught me a lesson in this. As everyone knows, this year was my 50th. And we talked about what we should do. And my initial idea was, let's just have an open house and invite everyone we know and we'll have some food and some wine. And she said, no, I don't want to really be the focus of any attention. We don't need to do anything. But maybe there's a place in the middle there somewhere, which is what we wound up doing. But maybe you could say I was feeling a little special, although it is a little special, but she didn't feel that way. It's just another year, another day, an ordinary anniversary. And that's true. It's all year that it's so special. So,
I mean, it's also here in the heart that it's something special,
yeah,
you know.
It was
and they're special and special, you know. They're special that's puffed up and arrogant and proud, and or needy or whatever. And there's just special taking pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think those are really different. Taking pleasure in something and a job well done, say, or enacting for each other that you care about each other. Wow,
I think we did it sort of our way, and at the end of the day, we both said that was a great day today. So
yeah. Anyway, or something special would be to hold on to your idea. I think I want to celebrate this way.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Did you have your guess?
I was thinking about Orioki this morning, and I made a great effort before we started to remind myself by watching a YouTube and wrapping the bowls so I would remember, and I remembered pretty well until this morning. I got nonchalant, like, oh, I know how to do this. The second I do that, I don't do it the right way. But what's okay is that it's nothing special to remember, and it's nothing special to make a mistake. And so that's a great relief to me, that I can take instruction without resentment and just do the next thing. Mm-hmm. Just in 12-step programs, we'd say you're either living in the problem or you're living in the solution. So you just correct your mistake and
mm-hmm.
move on. Yeah. So that's kind of a great relief to have neither one of them be special. And it feels really good to do it right.
Well, it flows, you know, you see how you're out of it, and you were about to find out, you know, maybe I should have just let you find out, because you were about to try to wrap them when they already had stuff on top of them.
Right.
It wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked. I'd be like,
what's wrong with this picture? Yeah.
So.
Well, I have wooden bowls, and they're not lacquer, they're wood, and they're quite beautiful, but very early on, my middle bowl cracked. There's two little cracks, one crack on each side. They're very small, and they've never widened, and I can never have a problem with soup. Well, today, when I got the water, I had taken so much in my first bowl that it completely filled my second bowl. And I you know, what you should do if you have too much is you put your first bowl down, you drink from the second bowl and empty it a little bit and then pour in the rest. But no, I knew that it wouldn't overflow, so I filled it almost to the rim. Something in here going, it's not a good idea. And sure enough, when I went to clean that bowl, I picked it up, and there was a pool of water underneath it.
I saw that.
It was not a little splash, as happens sometimes, but a lot. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, you asked for it. So we'll stop. That's why I said if we braided ourselves on Oreoke, we'd all be in solitary. But see, we're not. Yeah, and that it can be something relatively light and not defining me. What is that other one? When I went from I am a mistake to I made a mistake. Okay, we should stop.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them.